welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Alex, the editor for the Thinking LSAT, and this podcast, the LSAT Demon Daily. Today I have Katie, an LSAT Demon teacher, and today we're going to go over a parallel reasoning question.
Great. So we're doing test 73, section 4, question 18. Alex, will you read this argument?
Sure. So far this summer, there has been no rain in the valley, but usually a few inches of rain fall there each summer.
Sounds like a drought to me. Maybe.
Okay.
Usually they have rain and they haven't had any.
Yeah.
Sounds atypical. But let's see what they have to say.
Since only 1 week of summer is left, it will probably rain in the valley within the next week.
Okay. So I think that on a parallel reasoning question, we should start by asking the question we should probably ask on most LSAT arguments, which is, what is their premise, or what are their premises, and what is their conclusion? So Alex, what is their conclusion on this one?
That it will probably rain in the valley within the next week.
Yeah. And they give three premises.
Right.
Number one, that there's been no rain in the valley this summer.
Nope.
Number two, usually there is rain in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, there's only 1 week of summer left.
Right.
Second question we have to ask is this argument flawed or is this good logic?
Right.
What do you think about that?
It looks quite flawed.
It does look quite flawed. It's not the worst LSAT argument I've ever seen, but it's definitely not, it's not good logic.
It's not valid.
It doesn't seem valid. Why? What is the possibility that they're ignoring?
They're in a drought. You said earlier, they're in a drought. It's not going to rain today. It didn't rain yesterday. Right. It's not going to rain tomorrow or next week.
Yeah. Just because something has usually happened in the past doesn't mean you can't have something weird going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So I have a lot of doubts about this art. It seems like maybe they're in a drought.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Global warming.
Maybe it's just global warming. Yeah. Exactly.
Valley's going into a desert.
Exactly. Or maybe it's just sort of like a statistically anomalous year where there's no rain. And maybe next year there'll be a bunch of rain. Who knows? Just because something usually happens doesn't mean it's going to happen in the future. And the evidence here doesn't point, like, I don't think it's a situation where like each year there's an average of a few inches of rain. Because we haven't had any rain, like all that rain is going to be condensed into the one remaining week. Like, I don't think Mother Nature is like, oh, I haven't dumped enough rain on the valley, so I'm going to like dump it all on the valley this last week. Like, I just don't think that's how things work.
No.
I think the most obvious explanation is you're in a drought.
Right.
So the question I would ask then is like, what is their argument here? What is the sort of template or structure, or another student used to call it the bones of the argument,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think for this one, I would describe it something like this. I would say something hasn't happened that usually happens. Therefore, and there's like only a limited time left for it to happen. So it's going to happen in, mm-hmm. within that remaining time.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And then I would say, well, I'm going to try to think of an argument, and then I'm going to ask you to try to think of an argument that is flawed in the same way that this is flawed. And the purpose here is not for us to predict the right. answer, because we don't know what, I mean, we don't know what, like what fact pattern or what theme they're going to use for their answer choices.
Sure. Right?
The idea here is to engage really deeply with the argument. Because these answer choices are written to be tempting and to have little bits and pieces that sound like the original argument.
Right.
And we want to sort of, I think the best way we can like arm ourselves against that is by engaging really deeply and trying to think of our own argument that's parallel before we try to look for one that's parallel. Okay.
Sure.
Because otherwise it's too easy to get like led astray. Like, I was working with a student today who the original argument said, either or. And so she was like, well, the correct answer must say either or.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to. The correct answer said, like, you know, it will be poor or it won't be poor, which is basically a way of saying, like, it's still a binary. It's still an either or. They just didn't use that language either or.
Yeah.
But the student missed it because.
Exact words.
Exactly. That's why we're thinking about the bones. We're thinking about like higher level, what's mm-hmm. going on here. Not just like, oh, well, this argument says usually, so our other one better say usually. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but we can't just be hung up on that.
Right.
So I would say, oh gosh, okay. I would say, so far this semester, Bob has not gotten an A on any of his assignments, but usually Bob gets an A on at least a couple assignments. But since there's only one assignment left, Bob's gonna get an A on that assignment, or Bob will probably get an A on that assignment. And we're like ignoring the possibility there that maybe Bob's just having like a really tough semester.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe okay. stuff's, maybe he's in hard classes. Maybe he's having a rough time. Maybe he will get that A, but we don't know that for sure. Again, maybe we're in exceptional circumstances like the drought or the tough semester.
Right. COVID happened and.
COVID happened.
You know.
Exactly.
Didn't finish exactly. the school year.
Exactly. Yes. We have our sort of standard parallel flaw question here. It says, the flawed pattern of reasoning in the argument above is most similar to that in which one of the following arguments. Can you read answer choice A, Alex?
Sure. Aisha has finished proofreading all but the last two pages of an issue of the journal Periodos and has encountered no errors. However, there are sometimes a few errors in an issue of the journal's Periodos. So there may be errors in the pages that Aisha has not yet checked.
So that sounds like good logic to me.
Mm-hmm.
The argument is there may be errors because sometimes there are errors. I don't really have a problem with that. Sure. We want something complaining like there are usually errors. There haven't been any errors so far. So there must be a bunch of errors or at least some errors in the last couple of pages. That would be correct, right? But this like, well, maybe there's going to be errors. It's like, yeah, maybe there is. That seems like a very good logic to me.
Yeah, checks out.
A good argument cannot be parallel to a flawed argument.
Right.
So this is out.
Okay.
What about B?
There are generally few errors in an issue of the journal Periodos. Aisha has finished proofreading all but the last two pages of an issue of this journal, but has encountered no errors. Hence, there are probably no errors in the pages that Aisha has not yet checked in this issue of the journal.
This would be correct if it said, there are usually some errors in an issue of the journal. She has finished proofreading all but the last two pages and has found no errors.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, there's probably going to be errors in these last two pages.
Right. Right.
But this whole, usually there's not errors, she's proofread it, she hasn't found any errors, and there's probably not going to be any errors. Like, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for, we haven't seen what we expected to see, so we're going to see it in the time remaining.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. How about C?
On average, there are a few errors in an issue of the journal Periodos. Aisha has finished proofreading all but the last two pages of an issue of this journal, but has encountered no errors. So there are probably errors in the pages she has not yet checked in the issue, this issue of the journal.
Sounds very, very similar to what we predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question for you, Alex, right? Because we were predicting sure. like there are usually errors.
Right.
But they don't use the word usually, they use the word few.
Mm-hmm. Or on so average.
How can that be parallel? They do say on average, right? And they say, they're not saying there are few errors like answer choice B did. They're saying there are on average a few errors, meaning right. we can expect to see on average several errors. Well, we haven't seen any, much like how we can expect to see rain, but we haven't seen any this summer. So there's probably going to be some in the time remaining.
Right.
Ignoring the possibility that maybe this issue is just extremely, extremely well done or somebody already checked it
mm-hmm.
and there are no errors because it's a rare case.
Somebody wrote it very well.
Totally. I think C is looking pretty good. Let's check out D and E.
Okay. Aisha has proofread several issues of the journal Periodos and has encountered no errors, but there are seldom any errors in an issue of this journal. So there will probably be no errors in the next issue of the journal Periodos that she proofreads.
We want something that's like, this hasn't happened, so it's going to happen soon.
Right.
Not, this usually doesn't happen, so it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
How about E?
Sure. There usually are errors in each issue of the journal Periodos. Since Aisha has that finished. That sounds good. Okay. Since Aisha has finished proofreading the latest issue of this journal and has detected no errors, Aisha has probably made a mistake in her proofreading.
No, the argument isn't about the weather man or woman made a mistake in counting the rain that fell in the valley. The original argument was something's going to happen in the future. That's what the conclusion was about. It was a prediction. Argument needs to have a prediction, not a like past allegation that Aisha's a bad proofreader. Mm-hmm. This would be parallel if they said, the original argument said, so far this summer, there has been no rain in the valley, but usually a few inches of rain fall there each summer. So the people measuring the rain must have been doing a bad job and yeah. failed to count the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Right?
Yep.
That would be flawed too. That would also be flawed. It just wouldn't be flawed in the same way.
Right. And it said, taking your LSAT studying to the next level is you're not correcting the answer choices, but if the answer choices said such and such, then it would be like it's wrong. And in order to it to be right, it would have had to have said.
Yes. I think that that is one way you can level up your LSAT studying. So on a flaw question, right? You pick the right answer. Great. You say, did they do it? Yes. Is it a problem? Yes. That's the answer. Great. Most people are going to move on to the next question. I think one way you can really engage deeply with it and really like get to that next level is look at the wrong answer choices and think, see if you can edit in your head that original argument so that one of the wrong answer choices would be right. So you ask yourself, well, what would that original argument have had to have said for this to have been the correct answer choice?
Mm-hmm.
Or on a reasoning question, right? Sure. The reason it says, you know, the wrong answer says so-and-so used rhetorical questions to challenge Bob's claims, right? And you say, well, what would their argument have had to have said for that to correctly describe it? Well, would have had to have rhetorical questions, right? On parallel questions, I think that can be a helpful way to really flesh out the differences between different answer choices is think, okay, well, how could I edit, like, or how, what would that argument have had to have said for this to have been a parallel argument?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I would say like students should practice in their head on a flaw question, on a reasoning question, any type of question, see if you can make up in your head an argument that's parallel to the one they're giving you, or see if you can edit that argument that they're giving you to make it so that one of the wrong answer choices would be right. I think that's when you're like really engaging deeply with the test. And that's a really useful skill then when you're not sure what the right answer choice is you think, okay, like how can I figure out which of these is right? What would the argument have to say for me to feel comfortable picking this?
Mm-hmm.
And if it would have to say something different than what it said, then don't pick it.
Yeah, cool studying strategy.
If you want to level up, I think it's one thing to look at an argument and see this is flawed. And it's another to be able to reproduce that flaw with a different set of facts. And I would encourage people to just challenge themselves to try to do that.
Cool. Great. Thanks for coming today.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks. See you around.